would have described myself as a reluctant minister. I was running a teen group and the teens started calling me Reverend Bill. And I thought, I don't think so. And the reason I bring that up is because the same thing happened to Retta Morgan, who was leading choirs and doing spiritual sort of stuff. And people started calling her Reverend Retta. And she said, oh, I don't think so. She now describes herself as an interfaith minister, the leader of the Ecclesia spiritual community, a spiritual activist. And of course, you can just call her Reverend Retta Morgan.
I love that reminder. I sure did. Walked around, people said Reverend Retta. I'm like, cut that out. So good to see you all, New Thought Philly. Ah, it feels like home. I love that welcome, and it feels like home. The beautiful music, I bow to the sound and the power of the lyrics. And I want to know where you got that microphone too, because, you know, so I can do that too. But and the prayers and the reading and, you know, Reverend Bill, and the faces that I haven't seen since the last time I was here. Blessings to each one of you. Blessings. So you are welcoming me into your community, but I want to do a welcome. I want to welcome you into this space that we'll be co-creating for the next, 10, 15 minutes, right? So I want to welcome your bright and beautiful faces, but I want to welcome the range of things that may be on the call. I love so much about New Thought Philly that you are in the practice and community of building a new thought, right? A new thought leads to a new world, right? A new thought developed and expanded and embodied and practiced, right? So you are setting seeds that in 100 years, people will be still manifesting, right? And so I love that so much. And in my work, it also is the holding, it's the continually broadening of the complexity that we hold at once, right? So I want to welcome the joy and the power, but I also want to welcome the places that still doubt. I want to welcome the places in the body that don't feel good. I want to welcome the conversation of becoming, where the new thought hasn't completely sunken in and taken hold, where there's still some wiggle room and some struggle. I want to welcome that as well. I want to welcome the whole range of emotions. Like, rage is really good during a time when so much is up and so much is shifting. Like, to have access and to go somewhere. You can't yell. Most of us can't yell in the house. Somebody will call the cops. You have to go out in the woods somewhere where you can yell and people won't call the cops on you, right? But it's great to have access to these different parts of ourselves. So there's some part of you that's really mad. I want you to welcome. I want to welcome the places and the identities that you that show up and show your brilliance. But then I want to welcome the parts to hide, the places that you don't want anybody to see. I want you to know I can see you in fullness, and I love every bit of it. I just want you to know that. So welcome, 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 welcome. So here's a story I want to start and I want to tell you about. When back in I was in my 20s. So a long, long, long time ago, in my 20s, I worked, I'm from DC, and I worked in a music store called Jordan Kids. And in that music store, I was a receptionist. At that time, I was going to Peabody Conservatory. I was an opera singer. So it was like three absolutely full lifetimes ago, right? And a practice that I had as I sat in my desk, I sat right at the desk so people came in, they would see me first. Longer story than we have time for how I came to this particular exercise that I want to share with you. But I decided that I wanted to experiment with people as they came through the door. So what I would do is imagine, I would see them, you know, white, male, well-dressed, Black, young, heavyset, you know, Asian. Like, I would name these identities as people would come in. And the exercise would be to melt the identities so that by the time they were standing in front of me, all I saw and spoke to was their soul. And when I tell you, the miracles and the magic I experienced. I would feel people coming in the door with an attitude. And when I was able to look directly at them and say, good morning, with every bit of love my body could hold. As an exercise, I would watch stuff fall away from people. And 95% of the time, people would meet me where I greeted them. And I'm telling you, the healing, not just the healing in that moment, but the centuries of ancestral healing from my lineage and theirs in a moment. Now, of course, what happens when that moment turned off and then I redirected them to the next person, the veneer and the masks would come back on for the most part. But I had this experience, and I think that was sort of the birth of this idea of the lens we look through for me, right? I got to practice and I got to see it. I get to see it embodied, this idea that if I bring my full attention to this business of speaking transcendent of or beyond the identities, which of course are important, like we use these to interact in society. It's not that they're not important, but to have the space for them to fall away with compassion and love and to be naked spiritually with each other and really just remember together the goodness of God, the vibrancy of the eternal, just for a little while. Whew, it was incredible. So what I wanted to talk about is a little bit of cultivating a lens of power in order to stand in, have a relationship with uncertainty that is a relationship that is life-giving, that is growing, where we get to learn, where we get to dance with uncertainty. If we are not cultivating a sense of power, many of us are having lots of bouts of anxiety and sometimes getting stuck. You know, being one person, what is it that I can do in the face of so many things that are shifting, right? I have this image of you know, when I'm looking through the lens of the anxiety, I'm here. And then, you know, the change, the shift is up here. I'm looking up thinking, whoa, it's not a whole lot I can do, right? But if I'm cultivating that lens of power, what happens is what happened when people would walk in that door where I was working is I become this, right? I become this. I'm not now looking up going, oh my God, what can I do? I'm looking straight at the anxiety going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, right? So I get to see from a different vantage point if I'm cultivating my lens. So I want to offer to you a little bit of homework, like what is your relationship to power? What was your relationship to power as a youngster? You know, through the lens of the identities that you are most comfortable with, what was your first definition of what power was? Who had the power? How was it used? What was your, how did you interact with it? How has that identity, how has that definition shifted over the years as you grow up? And, you know, we have more autonomy as an adult. I'm imagining, you know, our sense of who is powerful, what's powerful, how we're powerful, and how we engage in that shifts. And so I'd love to invite you to look at that, because there are trails of wisdom that inform who you are now. But then we turn and then we look at what is, how is the universe calling us to be in relationship to power now? We get to bring the wisdom of our path. But what I love about this is that we get to develop a very individual definition and relationship to power. So that means what I'm sharing with you about my story at Jordan Kitts and what I'm going to share with you in terms of my looking at power and what emerged, for each one of you would have a different outcome in terms of what emerged. What the question of how are you to be in relationship now to power, to stand amidst uncertainty of whatever it is you are challenged with, and to stand there powerfully and grounded and extended into forever in such ways that you have access, you know, you have access to the resources of the grounding and the foreverness, right? How are you to be in relationship to power now, so that you can engage in ways where the anxiety is less and less and less, right? And so, yeah, I invite you into that conversation to look at how you would define power now from your most expansive and imaginative and visionary place, not from the small place. You know, I've been thinking a lot about the the ceilings we place on ourselves as human beings. Because of the way our brains work, you know, we need the habitual, we need the grooves the grooves come, the circuitry is built from repetition. So we need the habitual. And most of us are unconscious of the ceiling that we live under, right? It's work to consciously turn toward that ceiling and say, I'm going to choose the expanse. I'm going to choose a way of walking, a way of being in my co-creation. I love the beautiful word, the co-creation of our lives. I'm going to choose to be more intentional in that ceiling. I'm going to press the top of that ceiling and push it up gently, or I'm going to knock it completely off, like whatever that is. I think it takes a whole bunch of courage. It takes community, it takes intention, it takes muscle building to be able to do that. And I think that this community is in such an incredible position to do that because of how you cultivate the new thought together. Okay, so when I was reflecting on this, my own sense of power, three things emerged for me. One is that when I turn that lens on of power, you know, which what actually happened was I saw the optometrist, right, with the lens. I actually saw lenses, and I saw, you know, when they turned, when the lens is foggy and then he turns and it gets clear, right? So I literally saw that sense of my lens shifting, that as I cultivate power, any fogginess that I have in relationship to uncertainty, there's a sense of clarity that happens when I turn the lens to that place of power. And I shared the story about the music store because I think that lens started forming back then. Whatever in me intuitively led me to have that practice of communing with the soul, as that's my larger intelligence forming me and getting me ready for this moment, right? So as that lens clears up, what I saw was that uncertainty is actually the same as the unfolding. Like we are in the great turning, right? So we're in the middle of what was the breakdown and breakthrough of what is birthing. And we're right on that edge. And for some, prophetic folks are starting to get pictures and visions. Many of us are still in what's going to happen. You know, what's going to happen with climate change? What's going to happen with the political stalemate? What's going to happen with, you know, the money system and the health system and the education system? You know, all of these systems. What is happening in the breakdown, right? So when we change the lens from the uncertain, when each of us cultivate, right? I'm sharing what I saw, and it would be amazing to see what you see, because we're going to all see our own journey, right? So what I see is the unfolding, not that we don't know what's going to happen, but that we get to watch what's unfolding like a movie, the lyrics that talked about the book that hasn't been written yet, right? We get to be together. And so in the uncertainty lens, we're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? But when I turn it and get that sense of the unfolding, it's like a beautiful book and I'm turning the page. What's going to happen next? The characters are so clearly defined. Ooh, I can't wait to see what happens next, right? And I'm a firm believer in the holding of the complexity. It's still, there's space for us to grieve the tragedies that are happening, right? It's not like everybody is having a whoop-de-doo wonderful time, right? There's some very challenging things happening. We get to hold that and both grieve and be the place of birthing joy. We get to hold that together. And our intuitive selves tell us how to direct, in which direction. And sometimes, and the extraordinary complexity of now is we were developing the ability to do both at the same time. It may be that we already have been doing that, but to do both at the same time, to grieve deeply, but to keep ourselves tethered to the unfolding eternal, and to be in absolute awe even as things are unfolding. Which takes me to the next thing that I saw. Actually, the third thing. The second thing I saw, I just talked about, is vulnerability in my own sense of the lens of power that stands in the midst of uncertainty. I saw vulnerability. See, power is the courage to stand with the challenging and the difficult, unflinchingly, but grounded in love. Because that standard, the willingness to stand in the challenge and difficult, to not turn the news completely off, but watch it for 5 minutes or whatever your place of enoughness, a place of saturation is, but so that we stay connected in an embodied way to what people are experiencing. So we don't develop sort of otherness where we are this one, we're, you know, elite and off to the side somewhere, that we stay connected to what people are experiences, right? Even as we move through these stages. So for me, the vulnerability is part of power for me. It's part of my ability to stand in the tragedy, in the difficulty, and to, whether it's empathy, whether it's compassion, whether I'm called to do a specific thing, to stay in it, right? And then the last thing is this place of awe, which is so important, which I saw over and over again when I was working in that store and saw people melt away years, centuries worth of already decidedness about who I was, about how the interaction would go, and that they would be willing to, in that moment, drop away and just be with me at a soul level. Awe, you know, the sun coming up in the morning, awe, the baby being born, awe, the flower blooming, awe, the place in a conflict where there's a deep breath and both people can see something they couldn't see. They're fighting 1 minute and all of a sudden, oh my God, you know, like that moment, awe. That moment, oh, the place, even in these bigger unfoldings where somebody stands and makes a statement that's a statement for centuries. It's like, I have a dream, you know, is a statement that will reverberate for centuries. Awe, to cultivate, to be in, to remember, to saturate oneself with awe, right? And so that was my prescription for power, that uncertainty is actually the unfolding. That vulnerability as part of the definition of power for me is going to grow me into, what is that? Anyana Van Sant says, it's not one of the other Black teachers. I can't think of her. Lisa Nichols will say, I'm going to be unrecognizable to myself. It will grow me, right? I'm pushing that ceiling so that I'm outgrowing the box I was in and becoming something extraordinarily new, right? So those are the ways, and awe, those are the ways that I'm in relationship now with growing my own sense of power so that I stand in relationship to uncertainty, and that uncertainty becomes a way that I grow, a way that I know myself as part of the universe, not maybe in that way that is comfortable in a certain way, right? It grows me in a particular way, but it gives me a different flavor, a different lens, you know, to experience. So just to wrap up, you know, so I'm going to share the way I see almost the stages or the different ways we can be in relationship to uncertainty, right? And in every stage, I am holding compassion. I am holding not a sense of judgment that one is right or wrong so much, but just sort of a window into, right? So the stage of being stuck where we are here and we're here and we're kind of struggling with looking up, what am I going to do? The world is so uncertain. What's going to happen, right? So there's that stage of being in relationship to uncertainty. I'm just speaking blessing into that stage because we have to do what? Breathe through it and keep doing our work so that we move beyond that. And there's a stage of struggle where we're trying to push beyond it and having a really hard time, not really feeling the impact of about push, feeling like an individual, oh my God, I can't change it, right? So I'm breathing into that space, blessing and compassion, and knowing that with each breath and to continue to hold in the background this possibility and to continue to move, to keep going, to keep breathing, it will grow us into the next stage. And then the stage of wrestling, where sometimes you're winning and sometimes you can see, but sometimes you can't. You haven't developed the sustained muscles yet so that you can stay in that level of expanse and know that the relationship to uncertainty is one that can grow you up. You sometimes you're seen as anxiety, sometimes you get a peek of what it can be, right? That wrestling. And then I'm breathing through that and offering blessings in that stage. And then there's a stage of dancing, right? Right in the middle when you're struggling, you're wrestling, and then you realize that you've done enough work. So some of the judgment is falling away. away and things have become lighter and it becomes a dance with uncertainty, right? And you're moving and you're seeing, ah, there are gifts here that I didn't know were there when I was down and stuck and I thought it was all horrible. I'm dancing. And then and I'm breathing and blessing that stage. And then in the dance, you melt away. Just as the people stood before me and the identities melted away. There's a way that our ego and the I'm dancing with you melts away. And we are in union with uncertainty. And in that union, we wear uncertainty like a bridal gown, right? We wear the uncertainty like a bridal gown, and we marry the Christ consciousness. And uncertainty becomes the unfolding, which is the continual gift to our consciousness. Ashe. Amen.